Good morning, SP. Let's bow our head and pray. Lord God, we thank you for another chance to get to know you more. Please anoint my lips to share your word to edify us and draw us close to you. Enable us to be your vessel of love and truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let us turn to Daniel chapter 1, and it will be the entire chapter. So Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Aspenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding as discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the official assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. And now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, "I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your face looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king." But Daniel said to the overseer, whom the commander officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given some vegetable to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence, and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servant according to what you see." So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink, and kept giving them vegetables. As for these 4 youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Then at the end of the days which the kings had specified for presenting them, the commander of the official presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. That's quite long. Well, as you all know, Daniel is a well-known prophet in the Bible. But today, we're going to talk about the prophet Daniel as an evangelist, and mainly on Daniel chapter 1, but I'll touch the others briefly as well. I first heard of the idea Daniel as evangelist from Pastor Salamat. I don't know if it was last year's EMP or the year before, but that intrigued me. So I just started to look at it recently. So let's see what we can learn from Daniel as a modern-day evangelist. So just give you some background of who Daniel is and where the time period stands. Daniel was a youth, yes, teenager from a noble family or even royalty, and his small nation of Judah was all that was left of Israel. As more than 100 years earlier, Assyria had conquered the 10 northern tribes of Israel and scattered them throughout its empire. But then Babylon was subsequently defeated by Assyria, and by 605 BC, defeated Judah also, and then started deporting its citizens, taking them into its exile in Babylon. So as exiles in Babylon, Daniel and his friends did not like this new, harsh, unfamiliar environment they live in, and very likely to have been taken advantage of because they are an ethnic minority or simply don't speak the local language, or may have suffered from oppressions or discriminations in some way in their education systems, or perhaps simply living in a culture whose major religions worship different gods from them, from their own. So I guess you can see that these days in Hong Kong, ancestral worship or Taoism could be a dominant local religion. And for us as Christians, it is a minority religion as well. So many of us can't identify with Daniel in some way, perhaps. Perhaps working under a boss who worship a different god from us. So how does Daniel share his faith with his boss and his friends? I guess a simple answer when you read these verses is through lifestyle evangelism. So what that means is Daniel lived out his faith on his daily life, be it during the work or his tasks at home praying, or as a opportunity present themselves. So when we look back into Daniel chapter 1, I picked up at least five major challenges. You might find more. So the first one is on the first three. I'll term that as separation. Verse 3 talks about the king ordered Aspenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles. So Daniel, as exiles, Daniel was separated or removed from some of his family members and friends, and perhaps forever. So the first challenge was separation. And then the second challenge, I would say, from verse 4, re-education. Okay. You probably don't need to read the whole verse again. So re-education. So basically, the 3 year of intensive program of studying the Chaldean language, literature, and culture was designed to strip them of their allegiance to Judah and Yahweh. So we're training their minds and the belief system and all that. So the third challenge I got was verse 4 and 5 together. Maybe I summarize it as serve in the king's court or personal service. So if you think about it, if the king is responsible for separating you from your family and friends and cause you to live in a foreign land, a place where you don't know at all, the chance is that you probably don't like that person very much, to say the least. But you need to serve him I'm sure that would have been hard. So that's the third challenge. The fourth challenge is in verse 5. I would say that is a radical change of diet. I originally want to make some 4 or 5 hours, but I couldn't do it. So here it's a radical change of diet. So it's that eating the king's finest food and wine. This might not seem like a challenge, as the king probably had a lot of good food, right? But their food was typically offered to idols first, so before people could eat them. And also, when I read up some historians, they said that the Chaldean foods often have animal strangle for death. So that's actually against the Jewish dietary law, because when you strangle the animals, the blood is still in them, so they will be eating the blood as well. And the fifth and the last challenge is rename. So rename is in verse 7. So they change their name, which really meaning their identity completely, as the new names are based on the false gods of Babylon. So the name Daniel meant God is my judge, renamed to Belteshazzar, as Babylonian name. And Mishael, meaning who is like God, to Meshach. And then Hananiah, meaning Yahweh is gracious, to Shadrach. And lastly, Azariah, Yahweh is my helper, to Abednego. So Daniel and his friends could have said no to all five of these initiatives by not leaving Judah or protested or fought the system in some ways, but he didn't. He only fought one thing, right? The food and drink in verse 8. This was actually quite surprising to me, because when I look back, it showed me that Daniel's priorities were not about himself, not about his ego, or as a nobleman, nor was he necessarily patriotic about his nations, or his loved ones, like his families, or even his identity, or a name. But Daniel's first priority was about his God, Yahweh. He only thought about food and drink he eats, so that he can remain true to the commandments of the Lord God gave him. So Daniel remains committed to be the true living God. He knew that God calls his people to live holy lives wherever he placed them, so he would not defile himself with the ceremonial unclean food. And a few things we can learn from Daniel is, we've already talked about it, living out your faith for God. So clearly in chapter 1, you see that there are risks involved. Verse 8 or 9 shows that the king could be displeased by them by turning down the king's choice food, and the commanders of the official in charge of Daniel could think that they are troublemakers, and then things can turn against them. You might think that it's obvious that we should live out our faith in God. And actually, this chapter helps us to figure out how. I don't know if you notice it. Actually, this chapter, I think it tells us how to live out our faith. And one of the things I picked up was, if you look at verse 8 again, it states that Daniel sought permission when he was denied in verse 10. So Daniel made another appeal again. So how does he live out his faith? I got 2 points. one point. It's got quite a few words. You could break down into three, but I just call it one point. By humble, gentle, and respectful conduct. By humble, gentle, and respectful conduct. Daniel didn't make a combative stance to the people in charge or was rebellious against the ruling power. He didn't think of himself with great pride or better than others. He made an appeal to not defile himself with the king's choice food. And after it was initially denied, he made another appeal, but smaller scale. He asked for 10 days as a test. And the request was granted. Clearly, it came from wisdom from heaven, and also it gave room for God to move. And of course, it clearly written that God's favor was upon Daniel. But I think it's also important to highlight that Daniel was behaving in a way that helped him to retain God's favor. Yeah, Daniel was behaving in a way that helped him to retain God's favor. And you know from your experience that when you see that the favor doesn't stick with someone who persistently say or does the wrong thing to others, or say or do bad things to others. So, for example, let's say in our church, I guess the church staff thinks that P. Sam has a lot of favor on him. So, evidence of that could be like, I think SP does have many great speakers come by and speak. Artie Kendall, Bobby Connor, Benjamin Israel, so like many other speakers as well. And even though our church is relatively small, so it's probably something about his lifestyle that helped him to connect with people, that helped people to look to him favorably, as well as God. So the second thing, second point about how to live live out your faith, is actually quite simple. By doing your job well. Yes, by doing your job well. If you look at verse 19 and 20, it simply just tells you that doing your job well can give you credibility and listening ears. This makes sense as you do a good job, you get recognized and probably promoted, and certainly more people in your company and industry will want to listen to what you've got to say. So doing your job well helps with your evangelism at work. I would also say on verse 19 that, actually let me repeat the key words in verse 19. Verse 19, out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I think that doesn't just mean they excel in work. I would think that is something more broader, probably about their good character. You can imagine if you have a colleague or a boss that does a good job, but it's a pain to you. What are the chances of you want to hang around with them, to listen to them? You probably just want to get the job done with them and then move on, right? So, good character is important. And where do you find good character? Clearly, you can find good character and characteristics of that in the Bible, so leading a blameless, holy life. So, I think just want to summarize. By living out our faith, we are God's light that draw those around us to him, and we do that by humble, gentle, and respectful conduct and doing our job well. And as I invite our worship leader, I'll also highlight the rest of the book of Daniel 2 that talks about how Daniel shines for God. Even the king, Daniel's boss, professed Daniel's God as the God of all. I'm not going to spend too much time here, but I just mention it. So Daniel chapter 2 talks about king is not just impressive Daniel, but also impressive Daniel's God. And chapter 3 also talk about the king made a decree that guaranteed the freedom of Daniel and his friend to worship Yahweh. And then in chapter 4, the king also reached the point to give a testimony of his devotion to Daniel's God. So really professing faith in Yahweh. Maybe, just let us spend a moment to think about our life. Is it, are we shining as a light? It makes a huge difference to those around us. And here in Daniel chapter 1, it's just two simple things that we need to do. And we want to do anyway. I'm sure we all want to do a good job. We want to do job well. Yeah? And the other thing is just be humble, gentle and respectful in our conduct. I mean, who doesn't want that? I want that too. Just do these things and you can be a light to God. Let's meditate on that and see what God leads you to. Maybe submit to Him so that He can change you and move you forward to be this bright, bright light for Him.
I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way in me.
Let's turn to our community prayers. And lift up those who are suffering from cancer. And yeah, also particular to Kelvin too. He's undergoing another treatment that not only God heal him, but God will continue to do amazing work to the families as well as all the loved ones of the list here. Please pray for those who have yet to know Jesus, as well as for their physical sickness to be completely healed. We also lift up those who are suffering from other infirmities as well.
want to pray for all those who are looking for a job, that God would open the door for them to walk through, and that in the meantime, they will just lean on God for His guidance, and that God continues to provide in all His ways. We turn to our mission focus for Japan. Praise God that Sophia recently just got granted another 3-year of visa in Japan. Just continue to pray for salvation of her family as well as for her work and language program in Japan. Also for Grace now will be more focused on her business and the language program will take a backdrop, so please also pray for her divine appointments and business connections making way. Please pray for Missions Council, pray for Pre-Wiki, as well as the upcoming changes to the Missions Council as Pre-Wiki is going to be transitioning out of the MC. And also pray for the upcoming mission trips too, that on the 4th of March we'll have a missions info sessions that people will be light up to sign up and know that we are called to go. We are called to go out there and be God's hands and feet. Also, please lift up our local outreach ministry, IGAPE, HOMI, SP Light, Freedom Bridge Recreation, as well as our partners who we partner with SP groups such as Shanti and Love and Care for the Sick Foundations as well. Please lift up Cadence, who's leading the foster and adoption ministry. There will be some testimony sharing in the upcoming couple of Sundays. And also Dr. Robert Glover will come again to speak to us as well. So pray for his anointing and spiritual words that will empower all of us to support this ministry, the children of God who are fatherless. Please lift up our IP meeting tonight that we'll be praying for the churches, the church SP, as well as anything God places in our hearts, as well as the leaders and pastor. also for SPU and SP Youth, their service, actually worship service, moved to Friday night, and Sunday they will be doing Bible study. So lift up the service and more people to join and come as well, as the time schedule has changed. And lastly, please pray for the house churches for tonight, that we're going to talk about Do Not Worry Against, and that they will have a great time just hearing God's words, and that they'll be encouraged to not worry and submit all things to God. Father God, we thank you so much for today, that we could come together to hear your words and praise and worship you. Thank you for the reminder that we are your light wherever you place us, be at home, at work, at church, everywhere. And that, yeah, simple things that we simply do our job well, as well as being a humble, gentle, respectful person to others, could be a great light to you, for you, to others. So help us to come under your leading to do this. And yeah, show us ways too as we pray and seek your heart, and how to evangelize and how to be this light. Lord God, yeah, we thank you so much for your encouragement, and for you, that without you, we cannot do anything. So yeah, thank you for being with us. Give us the strength for every day. And yeah, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. So please continue to spend some time for your personal devotion and prayer as well. See you tomorrow.